Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
An opportunity to worship God. There's a group that was here praying at 7 o'clock in the morning. Some of them showed up at 7:30, and it wasn't me this time, which amen to that. But what I want to tell you is that we're praying very specifically. And we got ourselves lined up with God. We confessed. We did everything we knew to line up with God so we might ask Him one request. One request, and this was the request. That His kingdom, His power, and His glory would be on display at Christ Community Church this morning. That was our one request. You show out. Because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Am I right? It's His. And so we ask that He would show that today. Here. Not just everywhere. Not just anywhere. But here. Because God put us here. And so I just want to let you know you're entering into a time that's been prayed for. You're going to be led by a group. And they're going to sound like really wonderful performers because they are. But can I tell you, that's not all they are. They're leading a chorus of praise to God who alone is worthy. But do you know who the choir is? See, they're the leaders. Who's the choir? Raise your hand if you know you're part of the choir. Raise your hand even if you didn't know. Right. Because now you know. So we're here to praise Him. In heaven, we're going to praise Him. It says in heaven they fall down on their face before God and they worship Him. Now, we don't got room and we don't got to do all that, but in your heart, in your mind, I'm going to tell you, look at God for who He is and realize He's worthy of your worship and you bow before Him. Okay? Father God, thank You for loving us. And as we have this time of worship, when we have this time of when our children come and they do what You've put on them to do, and they remind us of Your goodness and Your grace, when we hear the sermon, when we hear the testimony about how You've used us as a church, Father, would You be with us and just allow Your kingdom, Your power, and Your glory to be revealed in Christ Community Church now. We're asking for now. Right now. Lord, we love You. It's only You. It's only Your Spirit that transforms lives. It's only You. It's only Your Spirit that breaks chains. And so, Father, show Yourself mighty here this morning. We love You, and we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
are free to sit down. You're free to stand up. You're just free. All right? We got that in Jesus. We're not going to be telling everybody what to do all the time, right? But I'm going to tell you, if it hits you and you're like, nobody else is standing, who cares? Stand. Put your hands up. Say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What? Do what you got to do. We're here for Him, not for nobody else around us, right? And I know we got that group mentality. We all should sit when it's time to sit, and we should all stand when it's time to stand. But look, just do it. Worship God.
If you've got pain,
like you're gonna be able to
He's
sing.
A pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. If you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom to save Him, He's a prison shaking savior.
And my
Experience.
now. There it goes. It's an awesome privilege we get to watch these youngins grow up in the Lord. And y'all, we want to be a church that teaches them grace, love, and acceptance in Christ. Right? So we get an opportunity now as they bless us with what they're going to do. Let's bless them by being here, being attentive, and being proud of them. Amen? All right. Did y'all hear the message of that song? You realize this? If our babies get the message of that song, they can walk with the Lord for a long time. You understand? They're going to know this, that when they stumble, when they fall, there's the grace of God to pick them back up again. They're going to know this, that it's not their own goodness, their own strength of character, their own whatever they think they got that makes them right with God. It's just that God has been gracious, man, to get that message, to be saved from the ridiculousness of useless human religion and to walk forever in a living relationship with God. My daughter is up there, and I want her to walk with that the rest of her life. Those are our babies, and we want them to know that, right? Man, we want that to sink in. What an awesome, awesome thing. 90s class, ready? Break. Here they go. There they are. They're going. So, we come to the end of a passage, a section in 1 Corinthians, where Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is going to give out warnings concerning the sin that he's been discussing for the first three chapters. 1 Corinthians is a correction letter to a church that had gotten off its path. And the first of corrections that he deals with in chapter 1, 2, and 3 is that of divisions, strife, and contentions amongst the body of Christ. I'm convinced of this. Those who are united in Christ as Jesus being the most important thing are going to walk in grace, are going to walk in the Spirit, are going to walk in victory, and they can overcome every sin that God will put to them. There will be no obstacle or immorality that they cannot beat. However, if the church allows divisions and contentions and strife to interrupt what God is doing, there will not be one obstacle that they can beat, and every immorality, molehill or not, will become a mountain. The decision comes down to the church. Are we going to walk in unity, same mind, same speech, same reverence and respect for Christ as our single Lord and Savior, or are we going to be divided among pet issues? That's what he's dealing with in 1 Corinthians. And it's my privilege and honor to preach it. And I'm not going to preach it very long. It's an amen point. Unless you've been here for a while and you know that every time I say that, it ends up longer. But I'm going to try not to. We still have more in this service. God has more for us. Isn't that awesome? I want you to think about coming to church and just think this. God has more. You might have been coming to church to say, well, I want to be blessed. Well, God has that, but he has more. And I want to, I want to hear some worship, and I want to be involved in that. Well, you will, but God has more. Well, I want to hear from God's word, and you will, but God has more. And this service is kind of like that. God has more. And that's just an awesome place to be, okay? So let me read the scripture, and then we'll hear some of the more as we go. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 23. This is what they say. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you, and we're here, Lord. Help us to be humble. Help us to be ready to submit to your will. In this letter of correction, you bring it down to some warnings that we might be a church, that the Corinthians might be a church, but via them that we might be a church that walks in unity with one another, unity in the Spirit, that we could be that place where people can come and hear about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, where they can be accepted and welcomed, so that they know that the gospel we have is for everybody, not just some people. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. Father, give us a relationship with the living God, and save us from empty religion. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's six warnings, and I just got the idea, the formula, warning, be careful. Be careful what you do with the temple of God. Be careful of how you treat God's temple. How did I write it? That's how. Be careful with God's temple. And I think you may be surprised when we talk about God's temple and what it means, who it is in this passage. But I hope you're pleasantly surprised at the end. But we'll get there about midway through. The first warning is this. Warning, be careful that you recognize God's grace in allowing us to be builders with Him. In this passage, he says, by the grace of God, I was allowed to participate in the ministry of God. By the grace of God, I got to contribute something to the ministry of God. By the grace of God, I've been found useful by God. One of the greatest mistakes and lies in religion is that somehow it's through your effort that you're adding your best and all your stuff to what God has just allowed you to do by grace. Can I tell you, ministry, it's a God thing. If you get to add one iota to anything that God is doing here, let me just encourage you to count it as grace. It was His gift to you to say, I allowed you to say poetry into the life of people who need to hear life-giving poetry. It's by grace that you are allowed to pick up, clean up, dress up, and do whatever else you do. It's by grace. Religion starts in our minds when we think we're doing something that's going to require God to merit us or pay us or wage us something. We don't want that. You don't want to start down that road. I'm going to tell you something. Even if you say, well, do you want to receive this? He's going to talk about rewards here. He's going to talk about getting a reward if you build out of the right material. But can I say something? When I look at the scenes in heaven and I see the rewards that they have, the golden crowns, you know what they do with them? They cast them at the feet of the Lord God and say, it's all of grace anyways. It wasn't of me. So whatever reward we might think we get into this, let your reward be this. Through faith, the grace of God has written your book, your name into His book as the reward. There's the reward. Let that be your all. Let that fill you. The Apostle Paul, who could brag on ministry more than any of us could, more than Billy Graham could, said, it's grace. It's grace that I get to be anything in the house of God, in God's temple, in God's building. It's grace. It's all grace. So be careful not to receive or think it's because of you, or that it's because of me, or that it's because of anybody else. It's grace. It's all grace. If you woke up, thank God. You're breathing right now? Thank God. My wife had surgery Thursday. She's recovering. And you know what she said when she got out of surgery and she realized that God spared her over for another day? She said, thank God. Thank God. You know, we didn't turn her over to the doctors to do surgery on her body and to bring her back from anesthesia. They did it, but we didn't turn her over to God. Who do you think we prayed? I mean, to the people. We turned her over to God. We didn't pray to the doctor. We didn't pray to the anesthesiologist. We didn't pray to the nurses. We prayed for them, but we prayed to God. It's all of grace and not of us. If it's any one bit of us, we'll brag on it. If God said it takes 100 pennies to get into heaven, and he allowed us to contribute one, he gave us 99, and he said, you got to contribute this one. The works you do, the worth that you have, you got to contribute this one. When we got to heaven, we would be bragging about how shiny the penny is that we contributed. Yeah, I mean, I know God gave me 99, but that one penny I put in, did you see it? I mean, it shines, don't it? It's pretty. That's a pretty penny, right? Matter of fact, I done put it on a necklace. It's right here. I got it. I carry it around with me. That's the penny I contributed. One out of 99. If God let us do one out of 99, if he let you earn one out of 99, you'd brag on it. And I know you would. I would too. So God says no. To your effort, your penny, to your best, no. Come in the name of Christ and do ministry. Come by the grace of God and do ministry. That's the basis. That's the real deal. Warning number two. Be careful to recognize the only sufficient foundation for his temple. Warning. Paul's so clear about this. We've laid a foundation. Other people are going to build on it. He knew that. He knew he wasn't the end all and be all for the church. He said, other people are going to do work in this church, but let them be careful. Because there's a foundation that's already been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Let me just remind you quickly of what his name means. Jesus means the Lord saves. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one. If anybody tries to lay any foundation other than Jesus Christ, the Lord saving, who is the only one, the chosen one, that foundation is whack and don't belong anywhere in the church of God. Nowhere. No other words. No other name. There's no other name given under heaven through which people ought to be saved. Just one name. There's only going to be one name that's above every name, through whom every knee will bend and every tongue will confess that Jesus is to the glory of. That's it. No other foundation will do. We ain't here trying to build character. We're not here trying to build good men. We're not here trying to build good women. We're here trying to build godly men. We're here trying to build godly women. People who are sold out to God, not the source of wisdom and common sense and whatever else you might have in this world. Those things are fine in their place, but they're no foundation for what God's building. God's kingdom works through the Spirit of God. That song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. If we just sing that because the words are on the board, it don't do us no good. But if it becomes the prayer of our heart, Lord, through your Spirit work in us. Through your Spirit convict and lead and shape us into the likeness of Christ. Wow, we're doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. There ain't but one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't fall for anything else. And if he's the foundation, you know, the foundation tells you how big the building's going to be. The foundation tells you a lot about that building, doesn't it? I mean, this foundation tells us how many square feet are in this building, right? You had to lay that first, then you can build on it. So even when we do build, which is the next point, be careful what kind of material we build with. We need to know if it started with Christ, it's going to continue with Christ, and it's going to end with Christ. It's going to be Christ from the beginning to the end. It is my Lord Jesus Christ who said this of himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Ain't nobody else gets to say that. And that's true for ministry in his church. The third warning, be careful to build with the right material. Be careful to build with the right material. We want to have the right stuff. If you don't have the right stuff, you got to rebuild or you got to do something. You're going to suffer loss. I ain't trying to be nitpickety, and I'm not trying to bring up bad things. But I'll tell you this, this church got painted twice. Because the first time the people did a lousy, lousy job. And I'm just telling you, they used the wrong paint. They just did. And if a fly farted, and excuse my vernacular, it stuck to the wall. And then everybody went and got hollered and said, "Whoa, we got done it." Well, you couldn't help but have it because it was painted wrong. So the church, at loss and at expense, had to go and pay a proper painter to come and redo it with the right paint. But can I tell you, at the end of your life, you don't want to have found out that you was the painter that used the wrong paint. You don't want to find out you was the guy or you were the lady who thought in the best wisdom of your heart that you're teaching what you think is right and you're teaching what's best and you're doing what's great, and to find out that you left the foundation and you was outside the walls anyways because you was teaching some religious stuff and not teaching Jesus. At the end of our life, we don't want to come to that. Do we? I don't. I don't want to ever have a thought that somewhere God's going to say, "You had a choice to choose your time to teach about my son, and you instead chose about the ways of this world." I don't ever want that to be me. I don't want to risk it for a minute. I don't want to be nothing but a grace, gospel of Jesus Christ preacher and teacher. I get this much time. This much time. I'm going to use this much time to tell you that Jesus Christ saves by grace. Grace alone, that he loves you and that he will build you up through his Spirit. That's it. That's all time I get. Boom. That's the material I want to build with. You know what? You might say, "Well, John, that gets boring after a while." I don't care. Because in the fire, on that day, when I stand before Christ, it's going to be gold. It's going to be silver. It's going to be precious. And it's going to stand. You can have the greatest of worldly wisdom backed up by every expert who ever wrote a book. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to go up just like that book. Wood, hay, and stubble. If it ain't this book, wood, hay, and stubble. Our faith isn't in everybody else and every expert. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, through who even shows grace and judgment. And I just can't pass this up. Verse 15, y'all look at verse 15. This is what he recognizes. Some of my people, some of my saved people, they're going to get into teaching and preaching and saying the wrong things. They're going to get into works that won't last. They're going to get into works. For crying out loud, the people I saved by grace through faith, some of them are going to start teaching works. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It ain't going to last. But what does he say about them? Does he say they're condemned? You know how quick we are to often condemn people because they ain't doing the right thing? Can I tell you, we ought to be slower than God on that. Why don't we let God lead in judgment? Do you agree? A lot of times we'll see people doing and saying the wrong thing. We're like, "Well, they can't even be saved. They can't be saved if they don't do this. They can't be saved if they vote that." You know, and one day I had a discussion. And I'm not kidding you. I heard this in the same day. "I don't know how somebody can be a Christian and vote Democrat." Then I went to a different meeting and I heard this. "I don't know how somebody can be a Christian and vote Republican." Same day. Same town. Can I tell you? Being a Christian ain't got nothing to do with your voting record. Being a Christian ain't got nothing to do with all that mess. All that's wood, hay, and stubble. And can I tell you, even if you throw wood, even if you show up before the Lord our God who saved you and empowered you through the Spirit, and you just bring wood, hay, and stubble. The Bible says this in verse 15 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, and you need to hear it. "If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss." What loss is he going to suffer? He's going to suffer the loss of understanding in that moment that he missed the boat, of being effective in ministry through the grace of God. That's what he's going to lose. But let me tell you what he's not going to lose. He's not going to lose his relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, although he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be what?
Saved.
I didn't hear you.
Saved.
Say it like you mean it.
Saved.
He himself will be saved. Why in the world do we keep judging people by what their here. Why do we judge them by the fact, have you put your faith in the one who can save perfectly, not put your faith in the ability to live out saved perfectly? Ain't none of y'all live out your faith perfectly, except for him right here, Glenn. He is the only one. He's eating sunflower seeds. Now, see, he blew it. Ain't none of us living saved perfectly. But you know what? Our faith ain't supposed to be in us living saved perfectly. Our faith is the one who saves us perfectly. Y'all get it? So even postpone that judgment you got on yourself, because I know we got a lot of self-condemning, self-loathing folks. And I know it seems like sometimes like, oh, but who knows? God knows. And plus, we all know too. We see your head droop. You all know about me. You see my head droop. You'll see me withdraw. You see me isolate sometimes. And what's going on? Probably beating myself up over something, over things that people say, over thinking what I could have done, over judgment that comes, over things that are in my life. Just like all of y'all, I got things in my life, right? But can I tell you something? That ain't me. I'm going to be judged through the blood of Christ, which is perfect. I don't know about y'all, but I know about me. I got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who himself is my propitiation for sin. Amen?
Amen.
Use propitiation. See there? You can throw it in anything. Propitiation means the actual sacrifice for judgment. So in the judgment day for Christians, will there be a regret in the sense of I blew my opportunity? Yes. Will there be a loss of salvation? No. Take a second to settle that in your brain based on the Word of God right now. Okay? This is close your eyes and picture the fact that you ain't going to be lost if you're saved. Thank you, Lord, and save us from all the religious mumbo jumbo that would tell us different. Okay, moving on. Another warning. Be careful to recognize the temple of God and his protection of it. I told you, this is the interesting part. Because most of us, when you think of the New Testament temple of God, what do you think of? We think of the individual. I mean, if you read, you'd say, hey, we are the temple of God. It's me, individually. The Spirit of God indwells me, individually. That's correct. There's another passage in this book where we're going to find out. He talks about believers. Right? And the Bible talks about believers being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But can I tell you, that's not what this passage is talking about? This passage is talking about the church. Because every time he says you, he's actually using the plural. He's not talking to you individually. He's talking to y'all. If Paul was from Mississippi and God inspired him to write this same letter, he'd say, because y'all are the temple of God. And you know what? When he's in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, he says the same thing. You all are the temple of God being built together so that the Holy Spirit might indwell in you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, he says, and you all are being built together into the temple of God that the Holy Spirit might indwell y'all. Can I tell you, church, we get real individualized in this. My body is the temple, and the Holy Spirit's dwelling in me. That's cool, but there's something bigger at play, because it's not all about you, sweetheart, and it's not all about me. It's about us. It's about we. Not one of us alone are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Not one of us alone is the church of God. We are the church of God. And in this passage, it's plain that not one of us alone is the temple of God. We are that temple. The church. Not the building. Not bricks and mortar. Us. Us. You know, when God calls his people to meet together, he means for the Holy Spirit to be dwelling in the midst of them and doing a work that only he can do. When we invite the Holy Spirit to come and dwell among us, we do it in biblical responsibility and saying, yes, Lord, dwell among us here. Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. There he is there with us. That's who we are. We are the temple of God. Don't ever fail to recognize that. We look at ourselves as sometimes just a ragtag group of folks. And that's cool. We're ragamuffins. We're saved by grace. I know that's how I see me. But I know this. When we come together in the name of Jesus, we take on a whole different personality, a whole different identity. We are the temple of God. We are the place where God wants to do His work. Don't ever overlook a Sunday when we gather together. It's special. And it's supposed to be. We are that temple. You know what He says about us? And we all just believe this. Y'all just receive what God says. Don't fight Him. Don't fight Him. We want to fight Him. But He says the temple of God is holy. And I know what you're thinking. But we don't look holy. We don't feel holy. We don't act holy. But can I just read the Word of God? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That word you in both parts are plural, talking about you all. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Keep that in mind for a moment. For the temple of God is what? Holy. Did it say we'll become holy? Did it say we'll behave holy? Or does it say is holy? Now, look, I'm not a politician. My name ain't Clinton, and I ain't going to ask what the definition of is. I'm just going to tell you. The Word of God says the temple of God is holy, and I can tell you who makes it holy. It ain't you and me. It's Him that makes it holy, and He gave us His Word on it, and we ought to just receive it. And be careful to think of it as less. To be careful how we treat the church, especially that when it's together being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, because it's not lightly that God says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. You might say, well, what does that mean? It means God protects His people. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way. God protects His people. People worry about the end times sometimes as Christians, and I'm going to tell you, church, you ain't got to worry. You might say it's because of the rapture. I'm not even getting into rapturing and all this stuff. I'll tell you this. God protects His people. So much so that He's made an eternal habitation where we can dwell with Him forever. There ain't nothing that can take that away from you and me. Nothing. He's got it. He's given it to us. Fear not, little flock, Jesus said, for it's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. So I'm not afraid. Ain't no need to be afraid, but we ought to be careful how we treat the temple. And the temple in this passage is not just you and not just me, it's we. It's us. We be the church. Y'all get me? Is that plain? We be the church. We are the church. It's not just you, it's us. And He abides with us. Warning, be careful that you are not deceived into thinking God's temple is dependent on and maintained by human wisdom. There's a warning against deception. Verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, it would be better if he became a fool that he might become wise. So if you got what it takes and you know how to run everything and you got everything this world has, you need to come up and drop that off at the altar and say, Lord, would you give me what I need from you? Because me doing this way and my own strength and my own wisdom will never accomplish your glory. If you had to become a fool for Christ, would you? Or would you hang on to your pride? Say, I won't become a fool. I'm not going to do those things which I know that's not kosher, or that's not right, or that's not this, or that's not that, or that don't seem right. But would you do it? When this world says you're a fool for following Jesus Christ and believing in heaven and believing in the Bible, would you become a fool? And say, yeah, you're right then. I'm a fool. I'm just a fool that belongs to Him. Would you do it? When the world says, this is how it should go, this is how they should be, and this is how it should be. When the world, and this is hilarious to me, because I'll get folks who don't believe in God, don't come to church, and say, we know how the church should be. And I'll say, yeah, and I know another thing. You don't know how the church should be. You're just guessing. You're taking your own human wisdom and common sense and projecting something out there that seems right to you. If this was a common sense project, it don't make no sense that Jesus died for us. If this was a common sense project, ain't no sense in the Holy Spirit coming to indwell believers and indwell the church to break chains, because you just do it. Hey, if losing weight was so common sense that you can just push away from the plate, well, just do it. If addiction was just common sense and we could do it on our own, just cut it out. Hey, just stop doing the bad, stupid things that you do right now. Y'all ready? Just stop. Ready? Go. Oh, man, it doesn't seem as easy. Yeah, because it's not. It's not for your common sense to do. It's for the Spirit of God to do. It's for Him to do. Become a fool according to this world, that you might be wise according to the Spirit of God. And be careful how you judge what's wise and foolish. Make sure you're using the right template. Make sure you're using the right standard. And not just some standard that you picked up as you were growing up. Ain't saying nothing bad about your growing up, but it's not always right what we get. It's not always God right what we get. Get your standard from the Word. Not from songs and movies. Not from well-wishers. Get it from the Word. And stick with the Word. Lastly, warning. Be careful that you don't miss the blessings of belonging to Christ. Don't miss the blessings of belonging to Christ. Somebody in here, anybody, if you are saved and you are likewise miserable, you are missing out on the blessings of belonging to Christ. If you are somehow saved and that burdened with how the world's going, as if there is not a mighty God who brought it into existence at the beginning, who's going to bring it out of existence at the end, and He's got it between there and here. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and you are burdening yourself with running the world, take a break. And just belong to Christ for a moment. Stop being a control freak. And I know we all got a little of that in us. This is part of the sin nature. We always want to diddle and doodle and blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah. Cut it out. Give yourself a break. God didn't make you the sovereign Lord of this world. Amen, high five. Amen, high five. He didn't make me it either. Because everything would be dirtier. He's the sovereign Lord. He's in control. And I want you to hear from the Word of God the blessings we have in Christ. Not just my word. Not some fancy illustration. He says in verse 22 of the second part, "For all things are yours." Which things are mine? Excuse me. Could you whisper it in my ear, Lord? Okay. All things are yours. It's almost as if I'm a child of God and this is my Father's world and I'm a part of an eternal plan. Light bulb. I am a child of God. I am a part of an eternal plan. This is pretty awesome. How come we don't live that? I mean, I ask myself that. I get miserable from time to time. Why don't I live that? Why don't I live? Now he enumerates some of the blessings. Not all of them, because he says all are yours, but he's going to enumerate some. So the first thing he says, he uses three ministers, Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, or Peter. Paul, Apollos, and Peter. And he says, everything they bring to you, that's yours. Matter of fact, those ministers are yours. They were given the grace of God to be ministers to you. So enjoy them. They're given for you, not to make you compete, not to make you divide up. They're all for you. It's part of the package. It's like getting more. You got more, see? And it's good. Then he doesn't stop there. Not only are the ministers ours, but listen to this. The world, life, death, things that are right now, things that are yet to come. And then he repeats this phrase, all are yours. Be careful that you don't live as a broke Christian. And I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about blessings. Sour-faced Christianity needs to end. The churches that promote it need to close. Everyone who is a proponent of it and preaches it needs to get laryngitis. Sour-faced Christianity needs to go by the wayside. Bye-bye. Don't even miss you. Go. Because it doesn't match with the Word of God. For all things are yours, whether they're given to you by ministers, whether they're brought to you by the world, whether they're brought to you in this life. Could you think of any broader categories? The world, life, death, present time, and future time. Can you think of anything outside of that besides eternity? Life, death, the world, present time, future time. Any other categories? Is there anywhere that God, our Father, left us broke? Is there anywhere we can't find blessings in this world, in this life, even in our death, In this present time or future time? Can y'all think of any? Is there anything that he didn't cover? I'm for real. Not even just saying that he said all things are yours and he said it twice. But in the things he enumerated, can you think of a reason to cling to petty differences instead of saying, I'm embracing the all that is mine through Christ? Which he makes it plain that that's where it comes. Listen, you are Christ's. That's who you belong to. And Christ is God's. You know where he got that from? The Holy Spirit whispered in his ear. But the Holy Spirit also directed our Lord Jesus Christ to say something like this. You're mine. And you're in my hand. And me and all I got, I'm in my Father's hand. And no one can take us from the Father's hand. That's the Gospel of John chapter 10. That's exactly what he's saying right there. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And my Father is greater than all. And I and my Father are one. And he said, you and I are in that. If you want to be an unhappy Christian, you've got to work hard. If you want to be a sour-faced Christian, it is hard, hard work. And I'm inviting you, in the name of Jesus, to embrace the blessing of belonging to Christ today. That's the invitation. And we're going to have it. We're going to have a testimony from Ahava Ministry. But here's the invitation. Heed the warning of God. Embrace the blessing of belonging to Christ and live a life fulfilled by Him and nothing else. Okay? And if you're here today, we always like to do this. If you're here today, you heard me preach about the grace and the only foundation of the church. The only foundation for our salvation is putting faith in God who gave His Son to die on our behalf that you and I might be forgiven of our sins. That's the only way. Okay? So if you're here today and you're like, man, I came here and it's like that song, if you need to be saved, if you've come looking and you need saving, we got a prison-shaken Savior who will save you today. And if that's your need, this is going to be a time for you too, okay? But let's just close our heads and open our eyes, which is scary. Close your eyes, open your head, bow your head, and let me pray for us. Father God, I pray right now in this time, just a short time, that you would do your work through the Holy Spirit, just like we prayed, that you would show yourself mighty in lives. They ain't got to come up here. They ain't got to be any kind of show, except for what you do in their heart, what you do in their life. Would you bring the kingdom and the power and the glory home? Would you save us from empty religion? Just like you preached to the church of Corinth and like was preached, would you save us? For that relationship based on grace, a ministry based on grace, and a life based on the blessings that come from belonging to Christ, and that only. Lord, fill us up. Fill us up with you. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. And I pray if there's anyone here, if they don't know you, Lord, that today would be the day. Not because it was anything special besides you moving. If they give their life to Christ today, it's because you moved in them. It's a sign. It's not the world. It's not the flesh. It's not the devil that brings people to Christ, that transforms lives and breaks chains. It's you. So we'll give you the glory. Do your work, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're literally going to take a minute. We're going to take a minute. If you have anything to do with God, if God's started anything in your life, I'm going to give you a minute. Right now, just between you and Him, you do what He's asked you to do. If you need to be saved, just say, Lord, save me. If you need to be saved from religion because you've slipped into a world of work, say, Lord, save me from this empty work-related religion. Whatever it is, if you just want to say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, what a great day, say it. But this, amen, praise the Lord. Jamie, give me 1 minute. All right, this is your time to respond. Jamie's keeping time. Thank you, Smiley. Oh, God has a good word for us. God has good stuff for us. If you got to do business with God, He doesn't ever stop. His altar call is always open 24/7. He knows right where you are, and He'll let you know right where He is. I'm going to ask my friends right now. Bill, you come on up here. Is Sophia coming with you? Okay. These are our friends from Ahava Ministry. They're here to give a testimony and report. We help support Ahava. We've helped several times financially, and the last time we helped was with a Christmas program that they were doing, and that's what Bill and Sophie are here to report on. So do you want to play the video first?
Yeah.
If you would, play the video, Bert, and let's make sure it's loud so everybody can hear it. I don't know if there's any words in it, but it don't matter. Make it loud so we can all see it.
Thank you.
Look, I don't know whether I can even talk after watching that, but anyway, I'm here to tell y'all thank you. Last year we went to Christmas and we came up with like $1,500 last year, $1,500 to buy Christmas for those kids. This year we did it a little bit different. We handed out some cards with their pictures on them, and people donated. We took $5,000 down there to give Christmas to those kids this year. And it's because of y'all and churches like y'all. And that's what I want to say is thank you. We gave out, Sophie's got my notes for me. We gave Christmas to 135 children, 69 girls and 66 boys. We gave Christmas to 37 moms. And you saw the picture where it said they were going out to give chickens. These were, I'm talking about, fresh that morning chickens. And we gave them out to 40 different families. So God's doing a great thing down there because of y'all's help. Not because of anything we've done, but because God laid it on your heart. And not only is he doing a great work down there, but he's doing a great work in the people that go. So I want to encourage you, if you ever get the opportunity, go. You don't have to go to a harbor, but just go. God will use you wherever you are. You want to say anything? No? Look, you know, the Bible says, God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I got a whole family that have been to missions with me. And this is my family in whom I am well pleased. And the way John said it this morning, we don't need to be making good football players, good basketball players. We need to make good Christians out of our children. That needs to be the first and the foremost thing we do. I didn't do it for years. I am guilty. But God willing, I'm going to keep on doing it now. He had to make a change in me before I can make a change in anybody else. Like I say, I just want to say thank y'all. Please continue to support. I think even Big John's going to go see us down there. And I hope and pray that I'm able to go with him. We've got a team of five that work for us, and we want some ministers to go and just pour into them because they pour out every day. We started feeding 12 kids, and now we're up to 130 or more a day. Guatemala. And look, God is so good all the time. God is good. Thank y'all.
I'm going to ask that the ushers come forward, take up the morning offering, and just as they do, I'm going to explain a little bit like that. But God's blessed me to be on the board of Ahava from the time it started to watch what he was doing. And can I tell you, a lot of people think, well, man, we got stuff right here in our country that needs fixed and that needs. And you're absolutely right. But can I tell you, how would you feel if somebody had food, all the food they can eat, but they didn't like it and they just kept throwing it off the table because they didn't like it? How would you feel about that person as opposed to a person who is starving without any food? They ain't passing by on the food they have. They just ain't got food. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm talking about spiritual. In our place, we choose, I like this church or I like that, and we might pass 10 on the way to get to one. But down there ain't nobody telling them about the grace of Jesus Christ. They don't got options. They're starving of food and spiritual food. That's why. That's why we go. Cade and I so far have dedicated... Is it okay, Cade? Cade and I so far are dedicated. We're going April 15th through the 20th. And we look for your prayer and for your support in going. And our mission is going to be to do like Bill said, to encourage those people who live there day in and day out and are pouring out into these kids. They lead Bible studies. They cook. They clean. They do this for people that the country has turned out and don't care for. Now everybody lives in a place like our place. And y'all, we need to reach them too. God gave us the resources to help reach them. Okay? So that's why we do what we do. Ain't nothing wrong with, we're going to do ministry here. But you know what? God didn't say do it here or do it there. He said go into Jerusalem, into Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. That's what he said. He didn't say either or. He said go, hit it all. And that's what we intend to do. So y'all pray for us in that. Father God, I thank you for this offering. And Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us. And we look to you for support. We look to you for what you're doing. And we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As these guys go out, if you want to make a contribution to Ahava even today, you have to write a check and put it in there. Or you can grab that man that you just saw, Bill Holland, a real handsome man with a grayish white beard over there. Just grab him and let him know. Okay. Thank you all. We're having a membership class today. If you're part of that membership class, if you would, at the end of service, after you say goodbye, meet me up here so I can, like Keisha just did, see, she's parked. And just come on up here. Yes, sir. Mr. Bill has something. One other thing. They ain't going to be able to hear you. You got to get by the microphone. All right. Yes. Uh-oh.
Need a prayer chain. We go in, we'll make a paper chain, and it'll reach around that gym. But we need names that are people that are actually praying for us while we're in there. Mm. So I'm going to lay these cards in the back. If you would, you can sign your first name, where you're from. You don't have to give any children, especially, just first names. Maybe age. That's it. If you'll obligate yourself to pray for us Wednesday week, that's what makes this thing work.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
That's y'all need to be proud of your kids. They did great in Texas.
Yeah. Amen. I don't know which one. Am I in here or there? There. Just to give real quick. I was in Parchman. And these chains, a lot of churches make them in their prayer chains. And I remember standing next to a dude who looked up and he saw the name of somebody new from where he was and how it blessed him to say, these folks are praying for me. And so it's not a light thing. You know, when they see, you know, so-and-so 8 years old praying, they'll think, man, my kid's 8 years old. And it's part of what God uses to open the doors, break down the walls, and soften them up to hear the message. So if you want to be a part of it, they'll be up here. Grab you one. But if you grab you one, we'll pick them up this Friday. But if you grab you one, do it. Fill it out. And we might could even make more. Okay. All right. We might even make more. Maybe Wednesday night somebody would want to do that. All right. Let's pray. If you're part of the one-on-one class today, find your way up here shortly. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time and all that you've given and all who you are. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.